Yeah. Let's do
that. Our audio is still out, so council members try and speak up.
Okay.
The amp went out. I think it was the original to the building when City Hall was originally built, so we'll try and accommodate as much as we can. Good evening, everyone. It is 7:02 p.m. Mm-hmm. I call to the order a regular called scheduled council meeting, June 28, 2018. I'd like to move on to item two, invocation and pledge of allegiance. I yield to Councilwoman Julie Estenbaum.
Thank you, Mayor. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us gather here tonight. We ask that you guide our decision making tonight as we work to move Bay City forward. We thank you for all of our first responders and our military, and I ask blessings, travel blessings on everyone here tonight. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Item three, certification of quorum. All council members, except for Councilman Childers, is present. We do have a quorum. Move on to item four, public comments. Any members of the public?
My name is Joe Halbert, representing UM Army, and I am on the agenda, and no, I don't need to speak, but I just wanted to let you all know that Mr. Eric Frankson and his wife Patty are in Porter, Texas, with our church doing UM Army. And so I'm anxious to hear when they get back. The UM Army team is coming here on Saturday with the team to visit all the requested sites that we have so far to see if it's work they can do. And we are going to see them around the city. They're going to get here about 9 o'clock. They'll be in Wesley Hall. So you're welcome to stop by and say hi. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public?
Good evening. Bruce Krauskopf. Glad to be here. I just had a couple comments. Just living here since 85. Moved here, got a job at STP. Got married, had kids, raised my family. Bought my first house, built my first house. Started a business here, and so just some things I've noticed when I first moved here in 85, I mean, this was the place to be. I mean, every street corner, you can go rent a VCR tape and watch a movie. And so 2018, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm seeing a lot of kids come to work in our area, a lot of growth in this area, guys, and but they're not living here. They're going elsewhere. If we don't capture them immediately, they're not coming here. And I talked to a young man just 2 days ago that landed a job here, just married, and he's happy here, loves it here, but he's not happy with the apartments, so he's probably moving to Hamilton is what he told me. So I don't know the solution, but I do know there's a lot of smart people up here, and I think if we team up together, we can find the solutions. Let's identify them, and let's take action and solve the problem. I think we can do this, guys. And another thing, and I talked to Councilman Childers, I saw his comments in the paper, and that's about the trains. I mean, they're a nuisance. And my parents built a house in Louise about 10 years ago across the street from an old abandoned track, and they brought the rail back through, and all of a sudden it was not a very nice place to live. And so they, it's an unincorporated town. They went and they took action, and they have a no horn zone. El Campo, I know, does it. So I'd like to help out, council members, mayor, please contact me. I'd love to help out, form a group, a committee, whatever, and let's solve some of these problems. You guys, every one of you, all you hear is criticism, and I just want to thank you guys for the job you do, and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Any other members of the public? Hearing none. We're going to move on to item five. Consent agenda items. 5.1, discuss, consider, and approve the request from the United Methodist Area Outreach Ministry by the UM Army Youth Program for the city to waive building permit fees while they make repairs to the homes of their clients in the city July 15th through 21st, 2018. The City Council finds a public purpose exists for such waiver, namely removing blight, improving property values, and reducing nuisances.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve, 5-1. And a second, call to a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion carries.
Mark, the Joe has asked for a dumpster.
Is that part of it?
No, well, I think y'all have already worked out of WCA, the dumpster.
I haven't heard back from them, but they usually do.
Yeah.
I didn't check. Yeah.
Okay.
If they don't, you can handle this, right?
Yeah.
But I'll report back on that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If you need help, let me know.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get it. Move on to item 6-1. Appointment, consider and approve the appointment of Mayor Pro Tem. This is the annual thing.
I nominate Crystal.
I second that.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Move on to item 6-2. Discuss, consider, and or approve the recommended bid award to KC Lease Services, DBA Matagorda Construction Materials for the airport site improvements project involving a self-serve fueling facility. James Mason, Airport Director.
Mayor, Council. We went out for bids for this self-serve fuel system twice. I think this is the best bids we're going to get at this time. I believe it's in your bid tabulation and the letter of recommendation from our engineer, Civil Police. I talked to Mr. Barry Calhoun. He says his company has done some work for him. So I would ask that the City Council approve accepting this bid and authorize the mayor to enter into the construction contract with them.
So moved.
Second.
Motion second, call to vote. Any further discussion? Call to vote, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. On item 6-3, again, this is gonna be tabled till next meeting. The agreement isn't prepared yet. It's not correct yet.
Okay.
I did have a question. Why is it coming before us? I mean, we've never done it before. Is it something new or? I've tried to look through our old agendas. I thought, well, maybe I missed it, but I've never seen it on our agenda.
I think it's something new.
Okay.
Is it?
6-3, discuss, consider, and approve an interlocal agreement between the City of Bay City and Matagorda County for the operation of the Bay City Service Center.
So,
she had a question.
Is this something new, or this is a routine item?
Yeah, we always have it for use of polling place elections. They give us funding for it. Annually.
But there's no, they don't, as far as the operation of it, the county's got nothing.
No.
Because that's, I got a call, and they were concerned about that.
The other thing I'd say, and
I realize it's not ready yet, but under the payment terms, it says the county agrees to pay $3,591.
Right. There's going to be several amendments to this that is brought back to y'all probably at the next meeting, including the price, I believe.
But then it says providing such funds are utilized by the city for the purposes set forth in section 1 above, and those purposes aren't defined.
This was an agreement that was given to us by the county.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's either way, yeah.
You're right. We need to table it.
Any further discussion? All right, until it will be brought back in the next couple meetings. Item 6.4, discuss, consider, and or adopt a resolution to designate an administration service provider for the Hazard Mitigation Assistance Grant. Marla Yashek.
Good evening. Hurricane Harvey has brought some money that will be available to communities, and there are going to be opportunities for Bay City to go after funds to help with hazard mitigation, flood mitigation, and pre-disaster mitigation. With that, Barry and I will need some assistance, so we advertised and received one bid from GrantWorks to help us prepare these. A couple of projects we're looking at now are along Cottonwood Creek, some mitigation for some erosion we have there, and of course the grants for generators, those are handled separately, but looking at doing projects under here and getting some help from GrantWorks to help us do that. So we ask that y'all approve.
How does GrantWorks get paid?
I'm afraid I'm not going to know that answer.
Ms. Collier,
yeah, it's a percentage of the grant, but it's normally regulated by the state.
If it's an unsuccessful grant, you still charge, right?
GrantWorks usually doesn't.
In this case, are they gonna?
I honestly don't know the terms of the grant. I'm sorry, I'm filling in for Barry.
Betty's here. How did these teachers write them?
I'm Betty Collier with GrantWorks. Typically on the grants, on the hazard mitigation grants, there's an upfront fee to prepare that application, but that fee is rolled into the application and then you're reimbursed for the fee for the application
preparation. Assuming the grant is successful. Mm-hmm. If it's not, you're out the money.
Right.
Okay. Well, you're recommending this, right?
Yes, absolutely. We need their help. We want to go after lots of money.
There's going to be lots available. There's $1.2 billion available right now for mitigation projects.
For one town, for one city. For one town, for us.
Move to approve your proposal.
The motion is second. Call to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Marla. Move on to item 6.5. Discuss the progress on the TERS number 3 development project. Dwayne Littleton. Would you like to come up too, Ms. Burnside?
No, sir. I'm closed back here.
Good evening. Yeah, the mic's out, so don't worry about it.
That's okay. Good evening, Mayor Bart Bricker, City Council. First off, I want to tell you all I appreciate y'all giving me an opportunity to raise some awareness about some concerns some of the residents on Marguerite Street as well as myself have. I'm going to read off a few cheat notes here. I'm here tonight as a resident of Matagorda County and a concerned citizen who lives in Bay City, Texas at 2521 Marguerite Street. I have a few questions which I'd like to address with you, Mayor Mark Bricker, and the City Council, and try and seek answers. Number one, who is currently in charge of the groundskeeping, mowing of the proposed site location for the Marguerite Meadows subdivision?
That would be the property owner.
Yeah.
But since it was replatted, it's actually a residential area now. So code enforcement can actually hold them to different standards. So it wouldn't be eligible for an ag exemption.
Okay.
So it should be addressed more regularly or routinely. It
should be addressed more regularly. I can't agree anymore myself. At this time, I have some photographs I'd like to share with y'all, the City Council, and yourself, Mayor, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I'll go into a little bit of detail. It's just three photos showing the corner lot of my home, 2521 Marguerite. There's a utility pole and a 4-foot easement. And then adjacent is the property, the 19.2 acres, where the new development, the Marguerite Meadows, is to be built. This area has been mowed in the past. I've been a resident of that homestead since August 7th, 2015, but nevertheless, not in a regular fashion. Question number two, this kind of goes with that. Will this individual or company be responsible for keeping the area mowed up until and or during the construction phases of the project?
Yes.
Number three, who will maintain road and street repairs once increased construction development begins to take place on our street? During a previous meeting, there were residents voicing concern of the current condition of our street, and Mr. Grover said that he would address those issues.
So I think, Marla, correct me if I'm wrong, the construction materials should be coming off of Pearl Street, not Marguerite.
That is correct. At the pre-construction meeting, they did direct the contractor that they will use Pearl Street as a construction entrance during the placement of the water, sewer, and paving.
Okay.
So hopefully that should help.
Not taking place. As of 2:30 this afternoon today, that's not taking place.
Okay.
Just note there.
You mean they've started bringing materials in?
They're mowing.
Right, okay.
Which is good.
Right, right.
But they're not utilizing Pearl Street.
Or
who's mowing?
This is the water, the sewer, and the construction of the road would be coming through Pearl.
Okay.
Like the heavier construction.
Well, full-size tractor with brush hog equipment on the back of it's heavy equipment as far as I'm concerned. Number four, who do we contact for questions and concerns during any part of the construction phases? One thing I have concern of, as of June 1st, we all well know it's hurricane season. Last week, we got a deluge of 10 inches of rain. I know you can't mow when the ground is saturated with rain like that. Number five, who will exactly oversee the developers and the development to make sure everything is being properly done outside of your local city regulated building codes? I know there's individuals that will follow the progress of the construction set in place that are going to check those matters.
Per the terms of the agreement.
Come on.
No problem.
This is Marla Yashik, by the way.
Dwayne Lewis.
Nice to meet you. During construction, the city will be out there checking progress. However, the contractor the oversight will be by Jones and Carter. They will be doing the construction inspection on a daily basis to make sure it complies with state standards and what is in the plans.
Jones and Carter.
Jones and Carter, that is correct. And they are being paid by the developer to do this construction inspection.
Okay, Mr. Grover.
And there's someone that the city uses.
Yeah, they're
very familiar with Bay City, and would you say that, Marla? And
yes.
The engineers are very
familiar. In fact, the inspector that will be on this project for Mr. Grover is also doing our water well inspection at Grace Street. So
okay.
He's in town on a daily basis.
Do you happen to know his name?
I do not, but I'll give you my contact information.
That would be great, I sure appreciate it. I have another question here, you might can address this for me. Will Pearl Street entrance stay open to the Marguerite Meadows subdivision after any of the construction phases are completed?
Construction of a permanent access point on Pearl is not part of the phase one development. So the houses built on Phase one will access from Marguerite, but they will have the construction entrance off of Pearl.
Which is how many houses in phase one?
Eight.
No, there's a few more than eight. There are more lots than eight in phase one. There's eight along Marguerite,
and then there are eight along
Marguerite, and then there are several more inside the property.
Okay.
I can give you that number.
Let me, if you don't mind, let me ask a couple more questions here. And I appreciate y'all being patient with me.
You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Tourist property description. Marguerite Meadows consists of 19.2 acres fronting Marguerite Street and then bounded to the west by Carrington Oaks subdivision, to the north by Pearl Street, and to the east by Cottonwood Creek, and to the south by the Valhalla subdivision. City utilities are either adjacent to or within the boundaries of the property, and capacity is available in those lines. I'd like to know who and how was the water capacity tested in the available lines that we're speaking of here.
Through the engineering, they are extending the water line that is currently on Marguerite through their development and tapping into the water line up on Pearl, so it will be double fed to ensure adequate pressure for everyone. Okay. And sewer, there is a sewer trunk line that runs through the direct center of the property that fronts Marguerite, so that there is capacity in that line.
Okay, okay, very good. And then those were performed by the City Works Department, I'm assuming they seized.
We verified, but they're also there in the developer's engineer also checked it. And if it would not have been enough capacity, they would have upsized.
Okay. It's pretty low, and I take a shower between 5 and 7 right now, I can tell. that's a joke. Okay, another item, tiers benefits. One of the things that caught my eye here was one of the benefits from this tiers program is the opportunity to improve drainage in the area. It says opportunity. I know the construction hasn't started, but by the picture that I passed around, you can see that the ditch is severely overgrown with grass that leads to the east that funnels into another ditch, culvert, right near the townhomes at the end of the block. How are we going to improve the drainage in the current area being developed?
The majority of the drainage within the development will be taken to Cottonwood Creek via a temporary ditch that they're putting in along their property. The lots along Marguerite will drain to Marguerite. There will no longer be an open ditch. They have designed a storm sewer system.
Okay.
That will take water down to the ditch near the townhomes. One of the improvements they are making that there is a inlet on the south side right there at the driveway for the townhomes.
That's great.
And it's in poor condition, and they are going to upgrade that to a standard type inlet, and because right now it's a concrete lid sitting on top of bricks.
Right.
So they are making that improvement.
Okay.
They are going to offset the water, some of the water coming from the north side, divert it to Cottonwood Creek instead of bringing it all the way down to that Marguerite ditch. So that has all been reviewed by the drainage district. There is the one little issue of the diversion of what size structure they need, but they do know that needs to be done.
How does one such as myself obtain a plat or drawings of that nature to look at that, or is that available to the public?
If you want to come to my office, I'll let you take a look at it. If you want copies of it, that will have to go through open records through the city secretary's office.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Fulce, to answer your question, it says phase one, 8 lots, 8 homes. Public Works. All utilities, including electric, water, sewer, gas, and cable television, and streets, bridges, and sidewalks, stormwater drainage inspection shall be performed by the department, and review of drainage associated with any plat application shall be reviewed by the county drainage district. I'm believing that should be public knowledge. That's why I asked you, could I see what
yes,
this
is? Yes, in fact, the plat was approved by the planning commission, so it would be public record.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We did review the plans for the drainage, and well, the drainage district takes care of the drainage. We handle the water and the sewer.
Okay.
And it's in the city secretary's office. I'll be happy to show it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. We're getting close to the end here, y'all. Thank you.
You're fine. Keep going.
These are not my questions, but I through some of the residents, you know, I told them I'd have the opportunity. If you have anything, let me know. Who is the representative on the Tiers 3 board from Senator Colcourt's office? By Tiers regulations, someone from that office is to be on the Tiers 3 board.
Yeah, so those are TERSs that are created by petition. This was created by the city, so that wouldn't apply.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there a bond set in place, as stated by TERS regulations, to hire someone to mow or do maintenance during the construction phase? There must be a bond in place before the construction begins. This way, if the person responsible for mowing or whatever is not keeping up with it, the board has to hire someone to do the work with the bond money. Has there been a bond set in place?
The contractor does have a bond. That is part of the contract with the developer. The contractor is required to have a bond for the project and his obligations under the contract.
You might have asked this question, but I was a little unclear about how it read in the newspaper. It says, ultimately, there are two entrances. There will be an entrance at the Pearl Street and one on Marguerite. We technically have three because the Boulevard entry acts as a double access point. So I understand the Boulevard off Marguerite, you'll have an in and you'll have an out. That's what they're meaning by the three access points. That, am I correct by that?
That was.
Yeah, we didn't acknowledge that as two, because they were trying to count that as a two entrance.
Yeah.
One entrance, one exit. But no, I was pretty adamant that they need another exit off Pearl, or entrance off Pearl.
Okay.
You promise?
It's part of the plat that was approved.
It's part of phase two.
I appreciate that.
Is it part of phase two or part?
I don't have anything on phase two yet. So,
but it's not part of phase one.
It is not part of phase one because there is no public street that will connect that far back into the property. This is just when you drive in, it will go to the left and have a cul-de-sac at the end. So it's a very small part. And there, I look at your picture here, it's about 25 lots, so 25 homes.
To cross over to get to the first eight.
Yes, you've got eight along Marguerite and 17 on the street to the, when you come into the left.
For the first eight that are to be built, it's economically more convenient to utilize Marguerite Street for the builds than to come through Pearl Street for the construction outside of the sewer and water and the roads.
Yeah, but contract traffic will come from Pearl.
Okay. Last thing here, and this is kind of important. It says hold a public hearing on the creation of the proposed TIERS project. Evaluate the proposed benefits of the zone and allow any interested person to speak and voice objection to the inclusion of property within the proposed TERS. This is in bold print here. Publish notice of the public hearing at least 7 days prior to the hearing in a newspaper of general circulation. I understand that there was a meeting with Mr. Grover concerning the project Monday this week at noon. A lot of us work, shift work, different hours, different schedules. As we're getting closer to this thing becoming a reality, and don't get me wrong, I in no way, shape, or form are against growth, change. People need places to live. I'm all for that. My whole reasoning for all the questioning taking place is I just want the builder, Mr. Grover, whoever's involved on this project to pay strict attention to quality safe work practices as this is taking place. It can be done. Nobody has to get hurt. Productivity, you know, let's do this thing in a timely manner as much as the gentleman can. That's really all I've got, you know.
Be a friendly neighbor.
Yeah, be a friendly neighbor. And it arouses a lot of curiosity just because it's going on right next to me.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm not throwing mud at Mr. Grover. I don't know the man. I'll get to know him, and I'll stay on top of what's happening over there. And in the event something should take place, I just want to try and get a name or number so I can alert somebody, hey, this is going on.
And also, our construction times are from 8 a.m.
6 a.m. 6 a.m. to 8.
And then they're also, I had mentioned that they're going to be requesting an early pour for the concrete.
Just because it gets so hot during this.
And that would be 3 days, basically.
That's
but that shouldn't be several days. But so that would be coming. But that's the only thing that I would see or have heard that would be out of the norm. That we haven't disclosed or discussed publicly.
No work on Sunday.
But that was just recent, yeah.
That's all I got. Miss Marla, maybe when this is over, if I could capture a business card from you.
I don't have one, but I'll write it down.
That would be fine. Thank you all very much
for
your time.
Sure.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item 6.6. Discuss progress on Bay City becoming a railroad quiet zone city. Councilman Corman.
Well, I put it on the agenda for you to report back on.
Yeah. So I discussed with directors, and is a consensus that it is not the highest priority at this time. That it's very different from El Campo. El Campo did not have any railroad. So when they put the tracks back in, the city had a lot more leverage to actually put in some of the crossings and do the upgrades themselves and fund that. From us, again, we have a lot of crossings and we're really old. So a lot of those crossings and that cost would be expense to us. Luis, what'd you say? Yeah.
Yes, Luis.
So we're very unique on actually having the stopping and switching here in town. And again, if at any time that it stops or changes direction, you still have to blow the horn even though you're a quiet zone. And I don't know if people truly, really fully understand that it's, you can have a quiet zone, but you're still not gonna have a quiet zone because they do cross and stop pretty often during the day. I just don't think it's the top priority at this time. So if it's for me to head it off, I don't think I would be the appropriate person.
Well, there's two problems, Mark. One is the noise, the blowing of the horns going through town. And the other is the crossing at Highway 35, which is also a noise generator because you know, the Missouri Pacific or the Union Pacific now.
Bill, could you please put the mic up?
The amp broke, so the audio is not working. So
why don't you move to the front of the room, Rick?
You can come stand up here. We'll talk to you.
You made me forget what I was talking about.
It was a 1965 amp, and it just...
We're trying to.
Yeah, I got two hearing aids, but I still can't hear you.
Okay. As I was saying, the other problem was on Highway 35, and that's the Burlington Northern, and they'll sit there. You know, we had a lady come, I forget her name, that was...
Crystal Sloan,
and they leave their diesel engine running, which you should be a diesel, but it's running all night long, right in the middle of town. That plus the fact that they're tying up that our main commerce through the city with their switching operations. They do crew changes right here in the middle of the city. And I think we need to start discussions with Burlington Northern to see if there's something they can do about that. You know, they're now delivering materials to the new chemical incorporated, and there's going to be a spur going into the new chemical company that's building on South Highway 60. They go into Lionel, they go into Celanese, and perhaps their yard really ought to be there. I know that's an expense with them, and it's a big undertaking to take that on, but I think we need to take it on. The solution to this problem is not going to take place very quickly. And for me, I look 10 years down the road, and what's Highway 35 going to look like in 10 years? I think it's going to be a mess. And we need to get the Santa Fe out of the city. They're not their tracks, but their switching operation and their crew changes and their engine doesn't have to be running all night long in the middle of town. You know, there's businesses along that route as well. There's two problems. I understand the quiet zone thing, I think. But the other, we need to attack. And what we need is some discussion, a little bit of discussion with the Burlington Northern. Then I think we're going to need to get some of our political horsepower going in terms of our state representatives and senator and certainly Nate to bring some pressure on those guys to do something about this. You know, if something gets done about it, it's going to be 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And I'm just afraid the traffic in Bay City is going to be horrible by that point. I can't hear you.
The horn is blowing while you're in, while you're talking about it.
Oh,
the horn.
It's a sign.
That's right.
Well, I brought that in for the discussion. So I do think we need to take it on, Mark, and I think you're the guy that's got to do it.
I have a question too. On that in that Sunday article about the Chase Malone, he quoted $30,000, and is this for one or all?
No, that was for El Campo, I believe.
Right.
That's what El Campo was able to do. How many ever years ago that they did it? And Mark just explained that they had a little bit different situation. They were able to leverage the railroad a little bit, whereas we probably aren't.
Bill, those no horn zones were put in after that track came back through.
Okay.
I mean, they got it done after they brought the track back in.
And so there was
originally it was a horn zone.
Okay.
There was an error in the paper. It was not 52, it was 22. And there's a correction in the coming paper.
22 what? Crossings?
Well, he quoted 52 trains were running east-west. Mm. There was a typo. I had several calls today already over the past few days that's impossible. So anyway, there's a correction coming in the paper.
It's trying to define which paper. Well, I'm just saying, if we're going to go on and on, let's see what paper did it.
But in summary, I don't think it's acceptable just to sit here and wring our hands, and I guess we're not wringing our hands, and do nothing. I think we need to be making some, begin working on it. This is a 2-3 year project.
We've already been working on it probably close to a year now.
But the point is, Crystal, we haven't been working on it.
We've been talking about it.
I think we need to do something. And I was hopeful that you'd come with a proposal on how we would move this thing forward. And, you know, it's nothing that's going to hit the budget for a long time. We've got to figure it out.
I concur.
I have a letter from Mayor White, April 23rd, 1981, to Barney Mason, our police chief, talking about the Missouri Pacific had railroad crossings tied up for an inordinate amount of time and had several complaints. And then there was some other ones, I think, from a few years later. Can't remember who wrote that one. This has been going on since early 80s. And then also there was another one where that had to do with Union Pacific. When the train depot was given out, basically would open up the tracks 24 hours a day instead of just 8 hours, because they could have it just for freight and they wouldn't have passenger trains there anymore. So they had to remove the depot as an agency office. It was like an agent office.
What's your point?
So there's been an increase in train traffic. But again, this hasn't been just a few years, this has been...
So good. I know, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, you know, Salinas or Oxley have just expanded. That's truck traffic and train traffic. We got a new chemical company that's just built down there. That's train traffic and truck traffic, which includes, by the way, ethylene oxide rolling right through our city. That's one of their raw materials. We got the stuff coming out of Tenaris, and they are just ramping up. Tenaris can't keep up. They're restarting their Conroe plant. So they're shipping this stuff like crazy. And we've got development all up and down the Cut Texas Gulf Coast, and this is in the Commerce Lane, Highway 35. It's gonna get worse. And we wanna build more homes in Bay City, bring more people in here, that increases the traffic. I just think it's untenable. I think from a strategic standpoint, we are sticking our head in the sand if we don't start working on this thing. Because like I say, it's not a short-term fix. It's going to take a long time.
Go ahead.
No.
I'll let you finish.
I am. I should have been finished 5 minutes ago.
I'll let you talk.
Go ahead.
I just feel like, with Mr. Cornman, feel like the places that have expanded, the places that need rail, the places that we know are coming that are going to access the same transportation opportunities, if we sit on the sidelines and don't start the conversation, yeah, we will be left out every time. We need to get in that conversation. We need to let our legislators know what we need to be a more productive city. And part of that is not to monopolize our city in that one way. So for instance, our main operation is basically between McDonald's and Sonic. Well, their main operations is between McDonald's and Sonic. It's gonna be difficult to move ours, but we do know that they could have their main locus of transportation operation could be somewhere outside. So for instance, this afternoon, traveling this way, they're loading a new crew on their single engine. No cars behind it or anything. They're parked right in the middle of the intersection by Bay City Feed, where they're waiting, cars are waiting, and their people are walking from their office to catch the train in the middle of the intersection. It doesn't even make any sense. I can't believe I'm saying it out loud because I can't believe y'all believe me. But that really happened. I took a picture of it because I couldn't imagine. But what we need to do is we need to start the conversation. And if it didn't come from somebody like you, Mayor, I don't know who it would come from. And frankly, I would like to be associated with the group.
Take it on, Becca.
I'm not the leader of this.
That's the
how many headed snake here. We need to get the leader to make that
connection,
to make that step. And I would like to be associated with the group of people that fixed an age-old problem. I mean, it's been happening since Mayor White and before. I don't know, I just feel like...
So what happened to your committee?
I don't know. We didn't get any traction on it because people didn't say anything in the meeting.
So what happened to it?
Should we start that up again? We didn't get a lot of traction with it, and so we didn't have any budgeted
CDC.
Money.
Who was on the committee with it? Who was on that committee?
Well, we had some, mayor was there. We had the CDC, judge. We had Union Pacific there. We had Diana Kyle, who wanted to head it up. We got very little interest.
Well, we have a concerned citizen over here that might would help us.
We do, and I would love to start it up again, but I'm like I said, it needs to come from somebody that would head up that situation, and the, you know, our mayor didn't think it's a priority. I would like to see us as a city take that on and have some, you know, leadership going toward that. And I really do think that as a city council person, Bill might want to do this. As a city council person, we need to get behind that person and make a change. I mean, if you don't want to do that, then I guess we could get somebody else to do that. But I kind of think you have all the resources that we need to get that done.
What resources? And that's what I said.
I think I mentioned in another meeting that I think, you know, I think it is important to call Representative Bonham and to call Senator Kohorst. And I think that a phone call from you is going to weigh more than a phone call from us. And I think we need to call the railroad companies. And again, I think a phone call from you is going to weigh more than a phone call from us. Now, I'm sure Becca would be, I would be happy, you know, I'm sure Bruce would be happy, but, you know, if we met, you know, once every other week to try to keep ourselves, you know, you and whoever, and like I said, I'd be happy to be on that committee, met once every other week to try to keep ourselves on target as far as moving forward. I agree with Bill. This is not going to be a this is not going to be a short-term fix. I don't think we're expecting anyone to come up with a report in 2 months, say, this is what's going to happen, this is laid out, this is the agreement, da 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 da. But if we don't start moving forward some way, then we're not going to get it done. We had someone talk about it today. Mr. Lehman's talked about it many times. It's in the paper from time to time. If you read Facebook, it's on Facebook from time to time.
Every day.
I think people, every day. I think all of us get calls about it from time to time. So I think maybe, you know, the city looks at it and says it's not a priority with them, but it is it's a priority with our citizens. I don't know how to move this forward. I don't have the answers, but we have to start somewhere. And, you know, and maybe reaching out to Representative Bonham and Senator Kohorst is not necessarily the first step.
I did reach out to them. I have reached out to them. And what I was told was we have to start with Farron Holt's office, which is somebody else's office now. But that was where we have to start.
Okay. So that's good information, too, because we did not know that. And that will be, there will be an office holder in that position after Saturday. So that's, you know, so we need to talk to that person. But and I hate to say get a committee started, because that seems like in my experience, getting a committee started doesn't always move things forward quickly. But if that's our only choice to do that, then, you know, that's what we're going to have to do, and I would be glad to help with that. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. And like I said, I don't know. I don't have the answer to the question. Yes.
What if the, like, city came up with a petition and we had people sign it? Would that help?
No. There's a whole bunch of things that you got to do, and that would be one of them. But, you know, what we need to do is formulate a plan of attack, and that might be one of the plans of attack, but that's not the only one. It's going to take some real doing to get this done, but I just think it's really important we do. I tell you what, I'll come back, David, but if you would carry it on the next agenda, okay. I'll come back with a proposal on how we move this thing forward, but you got to participate.
I don't mind participating.
In fact, you're going to have some action items to do, because when we start contacting our representatives and senators and stuff, Julie's exactly right. You got to do it. You're going to have to be the one to do that, and you and Nate. I mean, they're
that's just the nature of the job. But I'll make a proposal, and I'm sorry, Julie, but it's going to have to be a committee. But it's going to be a small one. And it's not going to...
I want Bruce on.
Huh?
I want Bruce on.
Yeah, he volunteered earlier.
He volunteered earlier. And he's a good worker.
Aren't you sorry you can't listen?
I love to do it, so let's visit.
But we'll see if we can get something done.
Get anything resolved, just talking, so let's get together.
It's going to be a small group.
Sure.
We're not going to have 8 people. Okay?
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
What I heard tonight is that you guys think that this is a strategic thing for the city that we need to start working on and see where it goes. I don't know how to do it either, but we can... figure it out. We're not. Yes. Other people have done it. We're as smart as they are.
Yes, ma'am, Justin.
I think idling and the switching should be the main focus.
Marshall,
instead I think so too.
Upgrading the horns or making a quiet zone.
I think.
That would alleviate a lot of it.
That would get a good bit of it, and then perhaps we can move into the other as time goes on.
But that it had a clearer scope, I think it would be easier for everybody to kind of understand.
I just think
the goal we're trying to accomplish.
Mark, I just think that the other thing is getting people like Tenaris and Oxea and Lyondell to help us with this. Because they do have some clout. They are customers. And I can't believe Tenaris is not complaining.
And I do have a spreadsheet. I just need to email it to you. I gave it to Scotty to look over the tax base, but minimal to the city. Most of it's in
And the tax base, I asked it for.
No, did you get it?
Or yeah. See it? Okay. Yeah, it's like $8,000 a year or something, and all that wouldn't go away. You know, they still got the property.
No.
And if we could move them out of here, we might figure out something else.
The big ones were outside.
Yeah. Okay, if you'll carry that. David, I'll make some sort of proposal.
Yes, sir. Got it.
You guys can think about it in the meantime.
Good. Any other comments?
Just because.
Well, I just wanted to comment real quick that I had gotten held up by a train about a week ago for an hour, literally an hour, and I wasn't the only one. It was at lunchtime, and going on Facebook, a lot of the local citizens were commenting about how they were worried about what about emergency responders, and they were worried about EMTs, and what if their kid broke their neck or something. Parents were concerned about their children's well-being, fire response, police, and nobody knew how to get home or to work. There was a lot of citizens who were genuinely concerned about losing their jobs because they couldn't get back to work from mileage rate. Or being late to make it to shift.
You're exactly right. I was surprised. You know, we got an ordinance that says that you can't block it for how many minutes?
10 or something.
10 or 15 minutes. That's our ordinance.
I was there for an hour.
It's not forceful.
But let me finish. But the state came along and said that's illegal. The railroad can block an intersection for as long as they damn well please. Per state law. So that's an even bigger problem, and you're exactly right.
That wasn't even something I had thought of either. That was a completely different citizen that I saw on Facebook. People were just going on Facebook, nothing but complaints.
Facebook.
I realized that, but there was a lot of people just in the cars behind me, being all kinds of upset and everything. And people feel like they can't really speak how they feel
often.
Unfortunately,
we need to get more
butts
in the seats here, but
this is just,
it's a common thread I'm seeing anytime trains
there from 110 minutes, common thread I see. And people's
comments.
Okay.
You have
your
job ahead.
All right.
I'll help you if you want.
Oh, you'll help.
I will.
Any other questions, comments?
I got boots on your side.
Moving on to item 6.7, discuss, consider, and or take action concerning the Bay City Community Development Corporation's appointment process. Any discussion?
It has Timothy's name in it.
I was waiting for that. Did everyone receive the memo that I sent out?
Yes.
Okay. If you have any questions about it, I would prefer to answer those since it is an attorney-client memorandum in executive session if you had any specific questions about it.
Okay.
I think it's a non-issue.
I do have one question. I don't think it's... People keep talking to me about the governing body. Who the hell is the governing body? Is that council? Is it council and the mayor?
The council is governing body.
Not so. Mark is not included in the governing body.
That's correct.
That's the first time I've ever heard that.
Thank you for that, answering that so succinctly. Okay.
Move on to item 6.8. Discuss, consider, and approve Eric Frankson as the new appointment to the Bay City Community Development Corporation's Board of Directors.
Move to approve. I'll make that a motion.
I have a motion.
Becca, you want a second? I have a motion.
Second, sure.
Second.
I already did the motion once.
Call to vote. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries.
I got an email from Eric. It's an email of appreciation for being appointed and he's eager to serve. And as Joe, I guess Joe left.
No, she's...
Oh, as Joe mentioned, he's on a church mission right now. Otherwise, he would be here. But he thanks everybody for the appointment. He was enthusiastic about service.
Move on to item 6.9, receive information regarding the operational procedures, funding sources, and current challenges of the Bay City Housing Authority.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess...
She's going to give us some paperwork.
Yeah. We got some stuff here.
So, these are copies from the cooperation agreement that we have with the Housing Authority and the bylaws of the Housing Authority. So, back when the Housing Act was created, funding was given out and offered to cities to create housing authorities. I think the city gave land in kind for housing units, and in turn, federal government gave a certain amount of funding to build the units. So they're technically owned by the Housing Authority organization, not the City of Bay City. We just appoint the members and that's it. And it's audited and overseen by HUD. But we have no operational oversight.
How is it different from, I guess I'll read this and determine that. I just want to be clear about what our role is, and I guess our role is just to appoint board members, period. I mean, we don't see their budget. We don't approve their budget.
All that's approved by HUD.
We do that with the CDC. Do we have any, there's no board members on their board?
Well, because it's a federal program. So the CDC is like a blended component, but it's a state tax. This is a federal tax. That's why it's just overseen by the federal government.
Mr. Mayor, they are board members.
Huh?
They are board members.
But do we have our board members? I guess what he's asking is, are there council members on the board?
No.
Because a lot of them.
Nobody from the state. No.
Why don't we have anybody?
I think it's restricted, yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with the state.
It says you can have a resident board member. Yeah.
See?
Why do we appoint board members then?
That's part of the agreement.
That's just
from HUD.
What HUD requires.
Yeah. I went to a commissioner's training in April or some right before Mr. Reeves was on. And they said, okay, and it's all the commissioners, right? So I'm sitting there, commissioners, and they said, all right, so I'm guessing the mayor appointed y'all. Now you're wondering what you do. He goes, basically, the mayor appoints you, and that's it. You don't have any more dealings with the city. That's how they opened the training. And then they said, and these are all the federal standards that you have to, you know, apply by, and this is how you get HUD funding, this is how you get your vouchers, and this is the role of a commissioner.
Well,
and just to oversee that and then oversee any complaints.
So, but I am hearing there's problems going there.
There was recently a termination of the director, but that was the discretion of the board of directors.
Do they have their own legal counsel? They do. Who is it?
I don't know.
You don't have
Nobody
legal counsel?
I don't think they've used one in a while. So I don't know if they have one.
Do we have any liability for...
Not that I know of. HUD can take it over, or they can opt out, and then we would have to either... I don't know if the units would be ours or not. They'd revert back to us, so we could have a housing authority department.
Go private.
What's that?
It would go private.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't buy it.
So they would sell.
They would go private.
To the public.
Yep.
Okay.
They go to private owners.
Good.
What is
it? Am I missing anything?
No, you're kind of on.
What's the
budget? Okay. I know you've been on just a few months, but yeah.
What's the budget? What is the budget?
4 or 5 months. And I've been to training also.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
They have around 100 units. Do you know the budgets? They have voucher program, then they have public housing. Public housing is the actual units they have.
That's all federal. That's all federal laws and federal everything, I'm sure. David, do you
want
to
keep that?
Okay.
Sorry.
I guess there's nothing we can do with
it. It is not just funded by the, it has another source also.
What is it, Rod?
What's the other source?
It's some of it comes from the state. It has like 2 or 3 different parts that it gets funded.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, they're pretty clear about how you have to have your capital plan.
Yep.
What's getting approved in your budget has to be in your capital plan if you want this approved, and it's pretty heavily regulated by
them. I'm sure it's audited.
Mm-hmm. Annually.
So what we end up having here at Bay City is the housing authority. We've got a program through the city, what do we call it?
There's no program from the city.
Huh?
There's no program with the city.
There
is.
That's the new build of housing.
That's separate.
That's separate.
That's
all separate programs.
That's our program in Bay City, not here, but we've got HUD and then we've got the thing that the city does.
Yeah, so have you heard anything about that being attached? So years ago, to maximize the amount of projects we could do under that program, they got some to go through the housing authority and some through the city. So instead of getting 10, we got 20 because 2 different entities were able to get 10, something like that. So years ago, mid-90s probably, they did something like that. So, yeah.
No, I wasn't trying to say that. I was just trying to...
But if you ever hear that, that was a weird connection before.
We offer in Bay City to help people with their homes and living.
Could also be USDA rural development.
Huh?
Could also be USDA rural development.
No.
Right.
I don't know. No? Okay.
There was initially, the first thing it was called was the Farmers Administration. It was done by farmers. The farmers. Got it started.
Okay. The house.
Do you know when they were built?
No, because the South Park had been there forever. I was growing up in Bay City.
52, I think?
Yeah.
So, Lamar had told me that, so they were built during segregation.
Yeah.
And everybody had to be segregated, but there was not a large Hispanic community, so that's why you have a unit over here that has 6 units or 8 units.
6.
But then after the end of segregation, then they've no, you cannot be there, and they force everybody to be in separate units. But interesting little history that I would have never thought about because I just went around.
And it does have a very long history.
Yeah. But I think it was 52 is when they were built. And Lamar was telling me that the deposits and stuff, the mayor used to have to sign checks to release everything, and that's what prompted this cooperation agreement. They got, or as Mayor LaToole had stopped, she didn't want to sign checks anymore every week. So it was more of a separation of any city involvement then.
Okay. Well, my motive on putting this thing in is I didn't know anything about it. Learned more about it last meeting than I ever knew before.
And if you read through it, if you have any questions, let me know.
Yep.
But so the next meeting.
I dug and found this.
The next meeting of the Housing Authority is July 23rd at 4:30. You want to go?
I'm going to work on the railroad.
You can come and visit.
Can I?
I plan to come visit.
You can come visit and you get 3 minutes.
And then you have to leave?
Table's a turn.
Then you go sit on the side. You're done.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to
just
talk.
Like here.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right. With that, we're going to move on to item 7, closed or executive session. 7, we're going to call them both. 7-1, Texas Government Code, Section 551.071, consultations with attorney. The government body may consult with its attorney about pending or contemplated litigation, namely Robert Neil Head, plaintiff, versus Mark A. Bricker, mayor, Julie Esslenbaum, Councilwoman, position 1, Bill Cornman, Councilman, position 2, and the City of Bay City, Texas, defendants. And 7-2, pursuant to Section 551.071 of the Texas Government Code, consultations with attorney, City Council shall convene an executive session to receive legal advice from the City Attorney regarding pending litigation or settlement offer, City of Bay City, Texas, versus CP Living 23, Texas, LP, CP Living, Texas, LLC, and CP 23. All right.